sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. So wrapping up the month of March, which of course is Fraud Awareness Month, I have invited back Fred Green. He is a special constable with the community policing area, and he specializes in crime prevention. So this is definitely in his wheelhouse to talk to us today and to continue the conversation about identity fraud and identity theft. Fred, thank you for joining us again today.
It's my pleasure. It's a very important topic, and I think education is one of the best things that we can do to curb identity theft and fraud.
Yeah. So just a quick recap, our recording session last week, we talked about the definition of identity theft. We talked about the rising incidences of identity theft, that this is one of those crimes that seems to have an energy all in and of itself. You had mentioned it's a very safe crime for criminals to be involved in, and it's very lucrative. So tell us about who these thieves are and where are they?
Well, they are, it could be a family member. It could be a caretaker. It could be a next-door neighbor. It could be someone walking down the street that sees opportunity for crime, someone that's dumpster diving, someone picking up their mail. And a lot of this stuff comes from overseas. In a virtual world, we can't see who we're talking to. And these people can be anywhere in the world. And they have access to your can have access to your personal information on your computer.
So are there typical victims?
Yeah, I would say there are kind of typical victims, and the typical victims could be older people because of they're trusting, they're elderly, sometimes they're lonely, which they'll give out information that they really shouldn't. Some are complacent or people that are careless leaving information laying around and really not protecting their stuff. Trusting people is one of the big things. Someone that's maybe not computer literate, that doesn't really know how to function on a computer or on a device. They don't know how to protect themselves and have the proper protection on their devices. Or it could be someone that may have like learning disabilities, which is easily talked into something and doesn't understand what they're getting into.
Now, how can children be victims of identity theft?
I don't know exactly how they do, but I do know that they are, because I know of kids that actually will get a message or summons for jury duty, or they might get bills in the mail for credit cards or debts, that sort of stuff. So obviously children are a target, and I'm not 100% sure how that happens. It's obviously through personal information, or maybe it could be through medical records or maybe social media accounts, or however, but I know kids, it's a rising issue with kids having their identity stolen.
We live so much of our lives online now.
Yes, that's a huge one, and that's a very interesting one because people are so willing to put their personal information out there, put their face out there, where they're going, what they're doing, taking pictures and showing the world, hey, I have a life. And by doing that, they're leaving social media footprints out there for the sharks. And the sharks can do something simple on click on a photo that you've uploaded to your social media, and it's got an embedded a GPS link to tell you exactly where that photo was taken and where you live. So these people are very, very ingenious in getting your personal information.
So aside from children being taken advantage of in terms of identity fraud and identity theft, I've actually heard of a few cases of family pets. And the name of the family pet, so the family pet, I think the dog was named Herbie, something like a human-type name, common name. And then with the family's last name, their dog started getting credit card bills in the mail.
Of course, yeah. As long as you have a human name, that works. You know what some people actually do? They'll actually redirect your mail. They'll put in a redirection for your mail, so they actually get your mail at a different address for a while, and then they can collect all your personal information, and there might be a vet bill for Herbie or whatever, so they use all this and use your past address, and they can get credit and credit cards that way, just by stealing your mail. We have a huge problem with rural mailboxes getting broken into, people throwing their stuff into the garbage, just and people getting that information, leaving your vehicles, leaving it laying around your office, leaving it laying around apartment buildings, anything like that. So that information, if it's out there, you just need one piece. Google's our best friend. You can Google that person, very likely find out where they live, maybe social media, find out exactly where they live because they have a photo that's actually GPS tracked. Be their friend, get in, see their relatives, all that sort of stuff.
We seem very vulnerable, particularly living our lives online, living our lives under the microscope of social media. And there seems to be just so much information that we don't even realize how much we're putting out there.
No, you don't. There's so many different ways of collecting this information. I'm really concerned about kids uploading photos when they're on their way to special games and traveling in the bus and that sort of stuff. They don't think about not sharing their information. That's the first thing that they want to do. And they'll someone asks them for information, private information, personal information, they're willing to give it. It's just about being out there. They want to be noticed, and that's just part about society. That's why they use mediums or platforms like Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook, because they want to be out there.
So from the RCMP standpoint then, what should I do if my purse or my wallet or my cell phone gets stolen or I notice it missing?
All right. First thing you should do before that ever happens is you should actually have a record of all your credit cards, all your passport numbers, the contact numbers, all your personal information, personal cards, that sort of stuff. Have the numbers and have the contact numbers and have them in a safe place. Maybe upload them to the cloud, maybe put them on a flash drive, hide it, email them to yourself, whatever. So that if you ever do lose your wallet, does get stolen, or your purse, you just have to sit down there, look at all this contact list. First of all, call the police and say what's happened, report it. It might be an ongoing thing where we can actually arrest somebody. If not, we can put it in our police system. You need to then call the financial institutions. Let them know what's happened so they can cancel your credit cards, cancel your debit cards, that sort of stuff. Call the credit reporting agencies. That's one of the first things you should do is call Equifax, TransUnion, and say that I think my identity's compromised or it's going to be compromised because I've lost my wallet and all its identification credit cards has been in there. Then your account will actually be flagged and you'll get a call if someone's actually using your, trying to get credit on your credit. You can actually replace your cards by calling 1-800-O-CANADA if you want to do that. But in reality, you should be checking Equifax, TransUnion, like every 6 months to get a credit report to see if anybody's actually using your credit. So if your pet's actually getting a credit report, that could be like a huge red flag. And if you do have your stuff lost or stolen, you should actually be in contact with the credit reporting agencies like every 3 months for sure to get updates. But you can do like I do. I pay $20 a month through a credit card. And if anybody wants any kind of credit information, I'll get an email right away saying this person wants credit information. Plus, you get an updated credit report like once a month. So it's a really easy way to keep tabs on your credit that way.
That's a credit monitoring service.
Credit monitoring service, yes.
You're talking about. Now, I've heard a good advice that we really ought to not carry all of our identification with us in our wallet or in our purse or in our phones.
Correct. And again, this actually pertains a lot of time for young people and teens because they have a wallet, they have a purse, they want to look important, they want to have lots of cards. So they'll have any card they can find, and they'll have the passport card, they'll have medical cards, they'll have all these kinds of things. They have a social insurance card. Don't have that in there. You only have a few numbers to remember. Remember your social insurance card. Don't have this all together. And they have a bad habit of leaving it laying around, leaving it on the car seat or leaving it in the glove box or leaving it around. You do not need your passport. You do not need your social insurance number. You do not need some of these things. You may need your health card because you can't remember it, but just have the basic minimum with you, because if you lose all that stuff, it can be a real hassle to get all this stuff back and get a new social insurance card, especially if passport's lost. It's going to take time to go through all this process, and it can be very messy.
So I guess realistically, the only identification that we need kind of on a day-to-day basis would be our driver's license.
Your driver's license. And you can actually have your health card to the back. And there's a couple trains of thought to that, that, you know, if I lose my driver's license, well, then my health number's on the back. So you can actually get a separate one of that. But thieves really do look for driver's license numbers too. That's one of the big things. But just have your driver's license with your health card on the back and maybe a debit card and a credit card and pay a low-value credit card.
So my wallet gets stolen, my purse gets stolen, my phone goes missing. And of course, most people have those nifty little phone cases where all their cards are right beside their phones. Mm-hmm. So is there any point in reaching out to the police about this?
If you know, it will depend what happens, right? So if you're like in a restaurant and it's actually taken or whatever it is, and there's video there, then we can see who did it. We could probably make an arrest. If it's lost, you come home and say, I lost my wallet somewhere. There's not a lot we can do. But most times keys, wallets, that sort of stuff is actually turned into the RCMP. So just come to the front desk of the RCMP, say, I lost my keys or I lost my wallet. We have a big box there and we can sort through and see if it's there. Secondly, if it gets turned into us, we will look through your identification and we have ways to find you. We'll give you a phone call and say, hey, we've got your wallet or your ID or whatever it is. Please come down and get it. So we do have ways to contact you that way.
So we still have some honorable people around?
We do. And sometimes it'll surprise you that the wallet's turned up with all the cash in it and comes to the police station. Sometimes just the wallet will show up empty. Sometimes a wallet with ID without the money on missing, all kinds of different combinations. But we do sometimes get everything intact by good citizens.
That is so encouraging to hear.
It is very encouraging.
This is not exactly a pleasant topic for us to be chatting about, a very important topic for us to be chatting about, but it's really good to hear that your RCMP office has a big box and we've got good, honorable people dropping lost items off at the RCMP station.
Lots of keys. So if you're missing keys with expensive keys for your fobs for your vehicles, come see us because we got lots.
Fantastic.